Have you made an honest review? Jump onto fifthwrist.com and read real takes by real owners about their watches. And of course, get involved and write about what's on your wrist. Fifthwrist.com is your independent space to talk watches.
Welcome to Piece Unique for Fifth Wrist Radio, a new show focused on the artistry, technique, and lore of watch modding. I'm your host, Matt, and with us tonight, we have a very special guest, Nathan from 444 PM Watches. Did I get that right, actually?
Yeah.
It's from 444 PM Watches. So yeah. Really excited to talk to you. You're just a really well-known modder in the professional modder. Like, if you want piece unique, as this podcast is named after, you know, if you want your own piece built, this guy's one of the many professional modders that can rise to the challenge. He makes beautiful work. Check him out on Instagram. We'll get more into that later. So let's start with the drink check. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm about to pour myself a neat Basil Hayden. That's my go-to bourbon.
Yum.
Be a nice little two-finger pour.
Excellent. Nice.
I'll do that right now. However,
nice.
Using my Kershaw Oblivion to open it up here.
Pretty. I haven't gotten into the knife world yet, but I keep it keeps calling my name. I'm like, oh, the watch obsession.
You gotta have a knife, man.
I mean, I have a couple cute Opinel knives. They're so sharp and useful and light. So, I actually did a watch trade with someone for
Got one of those right here.
For a leather. Oh, yeah. Those are the best. They're just so easy to carry around.
That's my bezel remover.
Oh, really?
That's what I use to take all the bezels off of all the watches I do. Well, the majority of them. Some of them require a different tool, but.
That's actually, you know, I was considering asking you about bezel remover because I'm like, I have the putty knife thing. And I'm like, gosh, this thing just doesn't work that well. Every time I use it, I'm like afraid I'm going to just destroy the case. But
this is technique, man.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you drinking?
Tonight I've got kind of a what's left in the liquor cabinet mixer. So it's this spiced rum thing. There's a little bit of bourbon in there, a fresh lemon from down the street, and some ice and some soda water for health. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
Salute.
So cheers. That's great. Yeah, that turned out better than I would have guessed, that weird mix. I'll have to figure out what that was. What do you got on the wrist tonight, Nathan?
I've been wearing my SKX 399 for the past week.
Cool.
It's a pretty beat up piece that my brother had bought off of eBay from a seller in the UK, and it was like pretty much in shambles, but I really liked the aesthetic of it and how it looked like, you know, had the natural patina to it and everything. So I restored it completely, put a new movement in it, and did some cleanup on the dial and a new crystal. And the only thing that's not original to it is probably the handset. I put a new handset in it. And then this bezel I actually found on eBay as well. And it is a naturally patinaed SKX bezel that's got, instead of black, it's faded to the like light or dark blue, navy blue.
So I was like,
that would go perfect with it, because I like my watches to look like they are beat to hell. It's just like I like the, nice. the rugged look, the toolish watch look.
Nice.
It fits my style a little bit better. So
I feel that. Yeah. Awesome. But so the SKX 399, I don't think I'm familiar. There's like a whole, it's, you know, I've kind of, there's so many SKXs, like it's like there's quite a, I saw this XKX 005 recently with this really cool kind of guilloche style, I don't know how to pronounce that properly, dial. Beautiful stuff. So what's special, like what's the
this was a like South Pacific release only, like tip mainly, I believe it was only released in the Philippines. So it's cool. They're a little bit more on the rare side than, like, say, the 173 or the A005, I think the one that has the yellow dial.
Yeah.
So
Southeast Asia gets all the cool Seikos.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I've got this it's a cool. So it's a tortoise tortoise case.
Yeah.
SRPH something 17 or something. I got it from secondhandmods.com. And then I've got these Lucius Atelier hands, the Breguet hands. And then the dial is, let me see if I can do it. The dial is actually, I'll just take it off, is a vintage Burin dial. So I don't know much about the brand Burin other than like they're one of those Dirty Dozen watchmakers. It's like 12 military watches from World War II.
Yeah, I've seen some of their watches before. I like that two-tone aspect with the having the black crown.
Yeah, totally. That was, you know, that's one of those happy mistakes. Like the stem broke, like just randomly. Stem in the crown broke, and I was so distraught because I don't know how to get the stem out of a broken stem out of the crown. If you know any tricks for that one, like let me know, because I got a couple stems.
Well, if it's broke off in the crown, then I think you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I figured. That's good to know, at least. Now I can just, like, you know, throw that in the bin. Anyway, yeah, so it was a happy mistake that an SKX black, like an SKX crown fits the tortoise. So,
yeah.
The more you know. Yeah, thanks. And then where are you located? Where are we chatting from?
I am in Orange County in Southern California. I'm like probably just about 5 miles away from Disneyland.
Nice. Excellent. Greatest place on earth. I'm also in Southern California. I'm in San Diego. So
nice.
Life is good. Life is good. So, you know, why don't we just kind of jump into like how you got into it? What started you maybe down the, maybe start with the watch. What started you getting into watches at all? And then how you got into modding after that?
Oh man. So yeah, like, I mean, I've talked about it before in like my Namoki interview and stuff, but like, so as a kid, I was always fascinated with watches. You know, my dad always wore Seiko watches or a Citizen watch. You know, he always had a watch on, and you know, as was typical with, you know, guys from his generation and everything. And he always used to let me play with his Seiko Bullhead chronograph, you know, because it had the buttons on top. And so he'd take it off, and I was just fascinated by it, you know, and the sound more than anything. I think the ticking is just something that's always been very calming to me to hear. And like, I would lay, you know, on my bed at night with the watch next to my ear and just listen to the ticking. And sometimes it would just like lull me right into sleep, you know. But I just loved watches. And like when we'd go to any, you know, stores and pass by, you know, like the jewelry cases where they had the watches and stuff, I, you know, always go look and check them out, and just, you know, could never get enough of them. Go to swap meets, I'd always ask, oh, can I buy, you know, get like that junk watch right there, you know, nice. You know, somebody selling and everything, just so I could have it, you know. And so I was collecting watches pretty much at an early age. And then as I got older, you know, that obviously like kind of didn't become important with, you know, adulting and having children and raising a family and, you know, not having a lot of money to really spend on watches. And so that kind of just slipped away from me. But then when I got divorced, which was a great thing. I'll drink to that.
Cheers.
But when that happened, I was like, you know, I should start treating myself to some things, you know? So one of the things I started treating myself to was watches, getting back into watches. I ended up, you know, going a little bit outside of my like normal, you know, range of what I collected and was into, you know, because it really didn't fit my style. But like all of us, we all have a Grail watch, you know, and my Grail was always like, I want a Rolex Submariner. So I purchased a pre-owned 11610, the 2000 Submariner with the, had still had the aluminum insert at the time that was made. And I got that. It was from Bob's Watches in Newport, and excellent, you know, excellent place to get pre-owned Rolexes from. I only wore it a few times and was like, it's just, you know, not something I want to wear out, because I know that like there's a potential somebody might want to steal it, or I might scratch it, you know, which was probably more a concern of mine than anything, because if somebody wanted to try and steal it, go ahead, because they'd probably be sorry. Yeah, so I just was like, you know what, I don't need this watch. So I ended up selling it and just dove, you know, back into my, you know, first level watches, which was always Seiko. And, you know, especially the dive divers, and me and my brother, like, you know, collected them as well. And so I started getting all these different divers and sharing them with him, and he started, you know, getting divers and sharing them with me. And before you know it, we're on, you know, Pinterest and Instagram and all these different sites, just looking at watches. And all of a sudden we started coming across, you know, these Seikos that were like, look completely different than, you know, Seikos we'd seen before. That was like, well, how to get a ceramic bezel insert on that? You know, why is the crystal, you know, domed? Like, oh man, look at this dial. That doesn't belong in that watch. So kind of just led us down this rabbit hole where, where he was like, you know, you should try that. And I was like, yeah, that might be cool. So I didn't want to tear up one of my Seikos. So I had a, an Invicta, you know, the little Invicta that looks like a Submariner,
the Pro Diver classic.
And I got that and I ordered some parts from, what is it, Degas or Degas? I don't know how you pronounce it. But
when, what year are we talking here? Are we, this is like,
this is going back to, I mean, not that long ago, probably like the beginning, either the end of 2016 or beginning of 2017. Around
okay.
There.
All right. Like 6 years ago. Okay.
And yeah, so I bought some parts for that and started testing it out, and ended up doing a really like terrific mod on it, like just like the first shot, you know. And you know, I like basically ground down the case and took off all the engraving, and then I sanded it out and polished it, you know, and did the same with the crown. It basically removed any branding of Invicta, put a custom dial in it. Then I even went a step further and ended up taking and having the case bead blasted, so it had a satin finish. And really tricked it out, did the bracelet as well, everything. And when I was done with it, my brother just about lost his mind. He was like, oh wow, he's like, that's, you know, really amazing. And so then I ended up doing another one. And he, next thing I know, he's sending me all these Invictas, you know, he's buying up all these Invictas on eBay and everything, and sending them to me and having me like mod them and everything and stuff. And so he's got a shit ton of, you know, Invictas and Seikos that I've modded for him. But anyway, the majority of like the first mods that I did was on the Invictas. And, then I slowly started getting into the Seikos, and after a while he was like, you know, you should start probably doing this for, do this for other people. And I was like, I don't know, you know, I like, I don't know if I want to, you know, like mess with somebody's watch, because I know how I am about my watches. Even though I beat the hell out of my watches, it's still, it's like, it's me doing it, you know. And like, I don't want to like touch somebody's watch and mess it up or anything like that, or be responsible for it. But he was like, come on, man. He's like, you're too, being too much of a perfectionist, which I am. Like, I'm really like OCD and anal, whatever you want to call it, about like just, you know, making sure that everything is done really precise and perfect. I've been that way about everything my whole life. It's my curse. but yeah, so I was like, well, maybe I'll give it a shot. And I didn't initially like start just offering to do it for people as a service or whatever. I just made an Instagram and started posting pictures of all the watches I was doing for fun, just to kind of see what the response would be. And immediately I started to get, you know, like people DMing me about like, hey man, can you do my watch? You know,
right,
like, where did you, you know, how did you figure out how to do that? Or where did you get these parts and this and that and everything? And so I ventured into doing it. I took that risk and started, you know, took a client in to basically do like a crystal swap, and you know, ended up doing it, and he was happy. And you know, I posted a picture of it and said, you know, like, did a crystal swap on this. And next thing you know, I'm getting, you know, another person, hey, can you do mine, can you do this, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, I was, you know, doing that and working my regular, you know, 9 to 5 at the same time, and just trying to, you know, do that as a little, you know, side hobby or whatever. It wasn't really like I was had any intention of turning it into a business.
Yeah.
But, you know, it started to get to the point where it was like, I was getting busy enough that I could, you know, see it possibly, you know, it becoming something I could turn into a business. So I, you know, made a website and, you know, started just like really figuring out how I could be, you know, more professional about it and, you know, get it dialed into where it was a super efficient and, you know, like professional service that I could provide, you know, You know, clients that are interested in it and stuff. So I just tried to make my website as informative as possible and build it up with, you know, as many, you know, aspects of what I actually could do for my clients and incorporate that into it, and did that. And then it got to the point where, you know, when COVID hit, you know, my job made us obviously take time off like they, you know, did with a lot of people. And so during the periods of time that I had off, I was able to really ramp things up to the point where I was like, I don't see myself needing to go back to my 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I, you know, made that decision to, okay, I'm just going to put all my effort and energy into this. And, you know, cause it makes me happy.
Right. Right.
And, you know, it may not make me rich, but I love the people that I meet doing it and the interactions that I have and the, you know, the joy that they get out of me doing something for them makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this is that's is more important to me than going out there and making somebody else rich every day, you know, and
totally,
you know, wasting my time and energy for them when I could be, you know, not wasting my time and energy doing something I, you know, like to do and that other people appreciate. So,
yeah. Well, first of all, I love how your brother had you mod all these watches for him. And then he was like, you know what, maybe you should start charging people for this service. This is like, you know, good timing, brother. But yeah, I totally see the joy. And, you know, I've modded a couple watches, like, you know, on commission, which I think it's a total pain in the ass. Like, I'm always impressed with people who do it professionally, because like, customers are pains in the asses. And doing it as gifts for friends, and like just seeing the look on people's faces, like when they get this like custom thing, there's only one of them in the world and it's just perfect, exactly what they wanted. Like, so it sounds so rewarding what you do to,
it really is. I mean,
it's the best.
Yeah. I love it. Anytime, like, you know, I get a email back from a client who's just got their watch in the mail, it's like the best feeling, because I open it up and they're just like, man, like, this is, you know, really turned out great. I love how everything came together. You did an awesome job. I'm gonna, you know, recommend you to all my friends and stuff. And it's just like, yeah, it's like you could be having a shitty day and you get something like that and you're just like, yeah, man, it makes me feel good, you know?
And then, yeah, that's the best. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
do you find like your customers, like, this is their first watch, their 10th watch, somewhere in between? Like, you know, what's their...
Oh, it's, you know, it's so diverse. I have clients that, like you said, like it could be their first watch. Like, you know, I just discovered Seiko modding. I don't have a Seiko. I don't know anything about watches. Like, how does it work? And they want to get into it. And it's like, you know, totally cool, because that gives me a lot of, you know, creative, you know, freedom to be able to, you know, like, you know, try and guide them and come up with a really cool design for them and stuff, you know. But then I get people that, you know, already have watches that they've had modded or had a modder before, and they want to try me out and see how I do. Or sometimes I get you know, clients that, you know, have, you know, all kinds of expensive luxury watches, but they like to also have, you know, like custom little pieces that they can take around that they don't have to worry about, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, and lock up in a safe every time they want to, you know, go somewhere or take a trip or whatever, you know. So you just got a very diverse, you know, clientele that, you know, every day it's somebody new, you know. And not only that, but I mean, globally, you know, I've got people from, you know, all over the world. Like, I started not too long ago offering, I've always done, you know, like taking in clients globally, but I just recently, like as of a little over a year ago, maybe it's been about 2 years now, started doing what I thought would be a good idea to start offering, you know, consultations. Cause when you get like people emailing you all the time or DMing you and everything and stuff, it takes up more time than it actually does that I
totally
spend, like, working on, you know, the watches. And it got to the point where I was like, there has to be a much more efficient way to, you know, talk to these clients and kind of understand what they're wanting done and explain to them the process of how it works without trying to type out an email or make a template email up that might not fit everybody, you know. So I came up with this idea of like, well, you know, why not just have them schedule a consultation, which of course I charge a, you know, minimal fee for it, but, you know, time is money, of course. So I got to, you know, get paid for being able to help them. But during the 15 minutes that they pay for, you know, it's like, so easy to clarify everything that they want done and explain to them how I can do it for them and how much it's going to cost and just communicate everything so well, you know. And so that's kind of like been really great thing to have incorporated into the you know business as such. But the really cool part is that I get to have, you know, video conversations with people that are all over the world. Like I had a guy do a consultation with me in Italy and he was sitting in his car, you know, like I've had a guy in Aruba, you know, like that call me while he's sitting on the beach, you know, and it's just like,
that's awesome.
You know, yeah, it's pretty cool, you know? So sometimes it's like I get to travel without even traveling. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. No, and the one cool thing I noticed too on your website is you just lay all the pricing out there. It's very transparent. I'm sure that saves you a lot of time, but I feel like, just in general, like if you're paying for unique services, a lot of time you have no idea how much it really costs. And if you just go to 444pm.com, like it'll tell you how much it costs for a date wheel swap, for a chapter ring swap, like for the whole shebang. And I appreciate that, like as a consumer.
I said, I try to make it as informative as possible because I like to, you know, get everything kind of cleared out ahead of time so that you can be as efficient as possible. I'm all about being efficient.
Yeah. Don't waste your time just, chatting away. Like, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have like sold watches online and like that's a huge pain. Just like listening to just so many questions to ask. So just trying to get ahead of the curve. Good for you. What was I going to ask?
Can I touch on something real quick?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You mentioned like selling watches. Like, I get hit up all the time about people asking if I have pieces for sale. And there are a lot of modders out there that do build pieces. Like, I don't honestly, I mean, that's cool if that's what they like to do, but I don't know how they, are able to do that because there's like so much overhead that goes into, you know, buying all the parts and building the watches and then trying to sell them and stuff. And like, kind of, that's like getting into kind of like, you know, dangerous ground in the sense of like, you know, your
inventory.
So my whole thing, like just to clarify for people, like my whole business model is based around, like, I can build you a custom watch, but it's on a commission basis. I don't just build watches and then like list them for sale.
Yeah.
I also like can mod your existing watch, but you know, it has to fit the criteria. It has to be a model that is moddable. It can't be something vintage because vintage watches are very hard to find parts for compatibility wise or otherwise. And then, you know, like obviously, like, you know, if you have an existing watch, I can mod that. If you're going to buy a new watch and you want it modded, we can do that as well. Or I can do it as well, I should say. But yeah, I just wanted to clear up, like, some people hit me up all the time and they're like, you know, do you have any pieces for sale? Or if I post something, it specifically states on there that this is a client's commission build. And they're like, how much for this piece? I'm like, it's not for sale. It's, you know, but I can build you something if you want to discuss it further.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. Because I've totally noticed, like sometimes, you know, they'll make these beautiful mods, like, you know, the mod father will make this beautiful mod and it's for sale. I'm like, oh, it's like, I guess if you build it, they will come. Maybe that's like their idea. Like, hey, I wanted to build it and I bet somebody will buy it. And I feel like they usually sell. So, thanks for the clarification. Okay. Yeah. So that's a good segue though. So, you know, you recently had this great video. I was a big fan where you said SKX 013, no more. I'm done with it. It's garbage.
I knew you were going to get small. To that.
Yeah. I mean, we had to. And I was, you know, I always appreciate when like when a business like states controversial opinion, like that probably is not like in their best interest as a business in terms of like, it will make some people upset. So first of all, good for you. You know, my friend, like, I totally see what you mean. It is I've dealt with the SKX 0132 and I can imagine I barely did anything to it. So I didn't deal with like the parts compatibility issues that you're talking about. All I did was change the dial and hand. So it was real easy, but, it is a little watch. Yeah. It's a little too small for me too, but, where'd that all come from? Tell me more.
So out of all the watches that I deal with, I would say that the 013 is probably the most cantankerous one that I, you know, have to deal with. And, you know, I've been trying to stop taking them in for quite a while. And I always give in, you know, because I like to please my clients as much as possible. Like, if you talk to all my clients, they'll probably tell you, like, I'm one of the, you know, most laid back, coolest dudes, like, that will literally, like, you know, like, discuss everything with you and, like, walk you through the whole process, communicate every little step of the way. If there's an issue, I'll make a video about it and send it to you, discuss it with you. Well, it never fails, man. Whenever I'm doing an SKX013, there's an issue with the parts that, you know, the client selects that they want me to put on there, where, like, if you put the bezel on, sometimes the bezel fits too tight and it won't turn because the you know, manufacturer didn't get the tolerances right to fit the case, the OEM case, you know. Sometimes you have to get all the same parts from the same supplier in order for them to fit correctly. You can't mix and match them with the 013. But even then, sometimes, let's say you're going to put a, you know, insert in the bezel, sometimes it won't go in because the crystal is too tall or the crystal is too wide. The bevel on it is too wide to where it won't allow the insert to sit correctly in there. Then sometimes they have a dial that has markers that are all the way out to the edge of the dial. And as everybody knows, with the 013, the markers are supposed to be pulled in more towards the center of the dial because the chapter ring sits on top of the dial and it'll sit on top of the markers. They do make a smaller, thinner chapter ring, but not even that one always works. So there's just so many aspects to it that make it a difficult watch to mod. And it always ends up causing me to have those types of issues where then it's, I have to put it on hold, or I have to reorder parts, or I have to, you know, end up just losing time because I might go through the whole process of building the watch and then have to tear it all apart in order to fix everything with new parts. And I don't get paid for taking the watch back apart and doing that stuff. So if you're looking at it from a business perspective, it's costing me time, you know, and time is money. So therefore I had to, you know, figure out, is this worth it for me to continue to take these in? Well, based on the number of them that I get in compared to the, you know, number of other watches that I get in, that's a very small percentage of what I take in. So therefore I just made the decision that, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore. But but I even said in the video, I'll recommend you to another modder, and it won't just be anybody. I'll recommend you to somebody that I've talked to that agrees that they want to take it in, because most of the modders I know don't like them either. so you know, I'll make sure they want to take it first of all, and then I'll recommend you to somebody that'll do it, and they'll do it good. Not that I can't do it good. There was plenty of people that wanted to comment and say, "Oh, you're not competent enough to do it." No, it's just I'm making a decision. I want to do it. And then, of course, yeah, I did add my little, you know, opinion about, you know, the fact that it is, you know, and I'll say it again, it is a lady's watch. It's not, it's either a kid's diver or it's a woman's diver. I'm sorry. If you say you have a skinny wrist or a small wrist and that's the size watch that you need to wear, you're mistaken. Put a 007 on, you'll see that it's not too big. Trust me. Unless your wrist is the size of a drumstick, then, you know, maybe the 007 might be too big for you. But if it's, you know, got, you know, a thickness of a bone, at least, I think you'll be good with a 007. Okay.
Bravo. Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I had someone, I'm selling an SK. I just sold an SKX 007. And someone's like, I think it's going to be too big on my wrist. And I'm like, well, I already sold it, but you should try it out, because like the way it curves, it's not as big as it sounds on paper. Like, check it out. And yeah, the SKX 013, it's a cute watch, but it's like having a little stack of quarters on your wrist. It's like a little narrow. It's tight. You know, it's like a little tuna can, teeny tiny baby bell on your wrist.
I just don't care for it, man. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Sorry, not sorry. Do you have any, have you ever rejected a client because, like, sorry, that's just too ugly? Like, I can't.
No, you know, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously there's been watches that I've gotten in and I, you know, have to question what they were thinking, but, but to each their own, you know, like it's their design that they want. That's what they want. And who am I to say, you know, like, you know, that they can't have it, you know, like, so yeah, I mean, they might be a little loud or off the wall, you know, but, no, I mean, there hasn't been any that I won't take in. The only issues I've ever had with not taking clients is, you know, clients that just like can't make up their mind, or will, you know, constantly like be emailing me, you know, for days on end, you know, going over stuff and then changing their minds after we've already kind of finalized things and stuff. And then
You know,
that's only been a handful though. Like, honestly, like if I were to sit down and go through all my records and look at how many watches I've actually done for clients, it's easily approaching between 1800 to 2000 right now.
Wow.
Watches that I've done. So out of all those, I would say I could probably count on one hand how many people that I've actually had to reject.
Wow.
So that's, you know, a very, you know, small percentage. So yeah,
that's
I take
awesome.
just about anybody that's willing to, you know, choose me to do their work. So,
yeah. Well, I think it helps that you're so like transparent and you have this great consultation at the beginning. Like, everybody knows what they're getting into, and, and you produce beautiful work too. You know, the work speaks for itself.
Thank you.
Do you have any, like, do you ever do any collaborations or have any like future collaborations? I don't know, between other modders or other mod part manufacturers, anything like that?
You know, I've wanted to do a lot of collaborations with different modders and stuff, but, you know, I kind of like just, I'm so busy with what I do that like, it makes it hard for me to really like, you know, narrow down, you know, a type of like collaboration that I'd want to do or a time frame that I could do it, you know? And, a lot of the people that mod, like, you know, they still do, you know, like their regular job. So for them having time is also, you know, difficult as well. But I mean, yeah, I've, you know, we're tried to work with suppliers before. Like, I've had, you know, issues with suppliers in the beginning with, like, when I first started out, they didn't know what I was about, and they thought maybe I was trying to compete with them for part sales. Cause at one point I had actually started selling cases. Cause I was like, I kind of like went into this whole like rabbit hole trying to find suppliers, and like, was like, there has to be a way for me to like save money, you know?
Yeah.
In order to make this, you know, something that's affordable for everybody and stuff. So I kind of like started having a supplier that, or a manufacturer that, was supplying me with cases that I was trying to sell. And that kind of led to an issue with, you know, me being able to actually work with suppliers that were selling cases as well, because they didn't know who I was or what I was about. So they're kind of like, well, we don't want anything to do with you, you know, if you're going to be trying to compete with us. And I'm like, I'm not trying to compete, you know, like I'm just trying to get one aspect of the build, you know, down in cost to where like it can be affordable to the whole other thing. I'm still going to need other parts, because obviously I can't afford to go and, you know, have this whole inventory of everything that's needed for every design, you know?
Right.
So I was like, I'll leave that up to you guys. So once that got squared away, I kind of like worked out all the, you know, little issues that I had with suppliers and stuff. But yeah, I mean, like I've done, you know, an interview with Namoki. I have a really good relationship with Damien from DLW. I have a really outstanding relationship with Jeff from Crystal Times. He's actually had me build his watches that he's done for his contest, his giveaways.
Oh wow, what an honor.
I've done like over 20 builds for people that he's given watches away, you know, and stuff for him. And
is he in Southern California, or is Crystal Times in
it's here in Orange County as well?
Okay, that's what I thought. Cool.
Yeah, he's a really great guy. I've met up with him a couple times, and we've had coffee and talked and stuff, and he's cool. Yeah, man, I mean, I would love to do a collaboration. You know, like I know, like, who is it? Loomshot. He did like a kind of a collaboration with Islander Watches, you know, Mark from Islander Watches. And he like came out with kind of his like own, you know, like I think it was a samurai style watch that had his logo on the dial and everything. And I thought that'd be really cool, you know, to like have, you know, like my logo on a dial if somebody wanted to do a collaboration with me, you know. Like, but I mean, yeah, I don't know.
You got a nice tight logo too. It's like it'd look good right there, you know, right between center pinion
or on your wrist.
Ooh, oh yeah, nice tattoo. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. So if anybody's out there, they want to do a cool custom dial collab with 444 PM or anything else on your collab wish list, you know, maybe this is gonna make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I would something like that, I think, would be really cool to do. Or just to, you know, do a, like maybe a collaboration with, you know, one of my fellow modders on, like, let's come up with a really cool design for a watch and kind of do like a limited run of them or something, you know, for people to buy. I mean, I've even thought about maybe diving into, like, eventually someday. I kind of been going through a lot of stuff the last year with, like, moving around. Like, I was in Orange, in Orange County. I was actually in the city of Orange. I'd been there for like close to like 12 years, and then I had to recently move, and now this isn't working out, so I'm going to be moving again. So like, and that's a pain in the ass, because it's like, you know, especially doing a business like this where, like, I have everything set up and, you know, as a shop in my house, and then having to shut everything down. I have to taper off all my clients and then like get everything reset up and then bring everything back online and kind of bring everybody back in. It's like, and when you're, that's what you're doing is your, you know, your income. It's like, kind of like puts a really, you know, oh, hold on a second. Got a phone call coming. Damn it.
No, no.
All right. We're good. But yeah, it could have really puts a damper on things and stuff. So
you can't just lose someone's watch. That'd be a
And so I have to make sure that that's all taken care of as well. That, like, everything is done and out. You know, like, so I don't have any more stuff in, and then that way I don't have to worry about anything getting lost. You know.
Yeah, that's wow. So,
but yeah, once I get situated and, you know, maybe, you know, get some scratch saved up, I'd like to possibly look into maybe doing something similar to, like, CS Watches. Ben from CS Watches has done, which is he's actually come up with his own dials and does his own, like, custom watches that he sells that are his own designs, you know.
Yeah, have so you gotten into, like, the, you know, the fiber laser stuff or the CNC, or, you know, what's your vision?
Yeah, that is a part of it as well. I mean, I'm really digging the stuff that Ron's doing, you know, from Red 5 Watchworks. That's really interested me, and I have a really good friend that I've known for 30 years who knows a lot about that and also is a CNC machinist, and I've kind of, like, been trying to convince him to, you know, kind of, like, go on this endeavor with me towards this, because if there was anybody that I was going to need their expertise to do something like that on, it would be his. And so I'm trying to convince him, and he's kind of at the point where I think he's, like, almost there.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of fed up with doing his 9-to-5 as well. And I'm like, come on, brother.
Let's
like,
do it.
Yeah. Like, we can
I'll
totally
be your
do this.
First customer for sure. Let's do this.
Obviously I don't want to go into, like, the ideas of what I've had with you know, that, but I mean, if I can convince him to make that step with me, then yeah, it's going to be pretty cool stuff.
That's awesome. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. I mean, if your friend's listening, like, you know, there's a community of people that are ready to buy custom dials. Yeah. I think it's, super desired. So I'm kind of more active in, like, the Seiko Mod subreddit, and, like, anytime someone's posting a cool custom dial, like Ron does all the time, like, it just gets so much attention, so many people asking, like, hey, can I get one too? And you know, I talked to Ron a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, you know, he's busy with other stuff, like, he can't build them for everybody. He's like, this is not his primary thing. So anyway, I hope it happens. That'd be awesome.
Oh, thanks. I think it would too. I need to get back on that subreddit and start being more active. I haven't been on there in forever, but I just kind of, like, got off of it, because every time I would post something, I got, like, so many people saying, oh, quit spamming, you know, and everything. And I'm like, I'm just posting, man. Like, so I'm not spamming. I'm just sharing, you know, but I guess they thought, because, you know, I'm a modder, that I'm trying to, like, you know, like, basically show off or sell my or advertise my work. And I'm just like you guys, I'm just a part of it as well, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, that sucks that, people can be shitty sometimes, you know, sorry about that. There's a couple modders that, like, post their stuff, like Modfather posts their stuff all the time. And I mean, I guess Ron's, like, somewhat professional, like, and he posts anyway. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. So yeah, come on back. I'll toss you an upvote. No problem.
Cool.
What about, like, you know, you talk. So actually, I'm curious, like, how many watches do you build a day or a week? Like, what's your production look like?
Man, well, right now I've got quite a bit I got to get done. But on an average week, I would say it's probably no less than 20. Like, that's about an average week. Yeah. Yeah. I got them coming in pretty steady.
That's crazy.
And the thing is that I have a really good system, man. Like the way that I've got it dialed in, like it's like I can, you know, get them done and out within probably less than a week of coming in, unless I'm waiting on parts or something like that. Then I have no control over that because, you know, everybody knows how the whole shipping industry is, you know, whether you're dealing with DHL or USPS, whoever it may be. It's like you may be waiting for a couple days, you might be waiting a month, but if I've got all the parts here in house and the person sends their watch and stuff, I can have it back out to them in less than a week, you know?
Wow.
I just basically have a line that it's everybody comes in, and as soon as their watch comes in, it goes in line, and then I just attack whatever's next in line. Then if I had an issue with the part not, you know, being compatible, or an issue with, you know, I got to order a new part because it was damaged, then that goes, you know, off to the side in holding, and then I take the next one and get that done. So as soon as that part comes in, that one that went into holding comes right back in onto my bench and gets taken care of and then sent out, and then it's right back to the line. So it's a really efficient process, and I just keep it going, man. It's like I said, it's I don't have anything else to do because I, you know, made this my you know daily thing. So but the crazy thing is that my day doesn't start until like at least like 1 o'clock every day, because the one aspect that of having my own business is I told myself I'm going to dedicate the first part of my day to me. Like that's going to be my thing, because, you know, like after my divorce and everything and stuff, I kind of like just, you know, went through this long period where like I didn't know what to do myself. And I took me a while to like find myself again after all those years. And when I did, I was like, man, I'm going to get healthy. You know, I'm going to get shape, I'm gonna like enjoy life, I'm gonna do things that I want to do and everything and stuff. And like I've raised 4 kids, I've got my last one with me, lives with me full-time, he's graduating this year, thank God, and I'll be done raising my kids. And so like I get up every morning, take him to school, and I go straight from dropping him off at school to gym. I spend 2 hours in the gym. I come home and I, you know, do whatever I gotta do, have my coffee, and then I make myself a big old breakfast. I'm a carnivore, so I like only eat meat, you know, and salt, water, butter, animal based only. And yeah, man, that's I get that food in me and stuff. Then I get to work, I do my emails first and respond to all those, order parts next, and then I start cranking out the watches. I usually do that till like whenever I basically get tired and feel like going to bed. And then that's the end of the day.
And so, and it's just you. You don't have any employees or
I don't, man. I try. I was hoping I could train somebody to do the emailing, you know, because I hate doing emails, man. I'm just a guy that likes to work with his hands, you know, like I'm working on Harleys and my Jeep, and I like, you know, building stuff, and I'm an outdoor guy. But I am very savvy when it comes to technology, you know, for some reason or another. I've always been that way. It's just I pick it up real easy, but I don't like it. I don't like emailing. I don't like spending time on the computer, you know. And so I was hoping I could entrust that to possibly one of my kids, like you know, train them.
Come on.
But it's just like I would have to teach them every aspect of knowing what all the parts are, everything in order for them to understand. And so it's like at the end of the day, it basically comes down to, in order for this business to be as professional and as quality driven as it is, I have to do everything myself. So yeah, it's just me.
Yeah. Well, I see like the discipline, like it, like, cause when you were like, oh, I do 20 builds a week, and then I also go to the gym every morning, and I'm like, I don't know how that's possible, but I guess all that discipline and like, you know, you put order into this, you know, disordered universe. Like
I told you, man, I'm cursed with being, you know, OCD. So everything has to be prioritized and organized. I write a list out every day. Like I'm still old fashioned, man. I have my to-do list in it. Every day I start the day off with like, okay, Thursday, like tomorrow it'll say Thursday, and it'll have everything that I'm going to do, even though I already know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I still write it down just because that's how disciplined and old school I am.
Yeah.
And I cross it off as soon as each thing is done until it's all done.
Maybe I should start doing that, man. I gotta get on that train. That's important. Yeah. So yeah,
I try to tell my kids to do it too, but they don't listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Do your kids, are they into watches? Do they get it at all? Like, I have a 2-year-old. Sometimes he likes to put my Timex on, but he's 2 years old. He doesn't know about watches.
You know, yeah, so. Yeah, they're into watches, man. They love them. My son, he loves them. He's taken or begged me, I should say, for quite a few of the ones that I've built for myself personally, and I've given them to him. I've built watches for my daughter. Excuse me. I've built watches. That one thing that I have done is I have a very small circle of friends that I've known for, you know, some of them as many as long as 30 years, and I've built for every one of them because I consider them my brothers, even though, you know, we're not by blood, but they're my brothers. And for every one of those friends, I've built a custom watch for and given it to them as a gift. And so I do that, you know, there's probably like at least 10 watches that I've done that.
That's awesome.
Know, and given those away. And then I've got the ones that I've built for myself that my son likes to take. Like here's one right here that my favorite band is Oingo Boingo. Nice. I don't know if you know who Danny Elfman is, but like he was the lead singer of Oingo Boingo when they were still a band. And everybody should know who Danny Elfman is. He's one of the most talented composers there is.
Yeah.
Movie scores and stuff like that. But
I didn't know the two were connected. So
yeah,
the more you know.
Yeah. So, I was a big fan of Oingo Boingo growing up. I got, you know, an Oingo Boingo tattoo on my, on my nice. Arm there. And, so I had, Watch Noted, who's on Instagram. He makes custom dials as well. Had him make me, he's in Amsterdam, had him make me a really cool, dial of that tattoo. I don't know if you can see it, but
That's wow, good depth.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
And he even got Loom on there. It's all like, you know, painted and stuff. So
wow. I actually wore
that on what was it, on a couple days before Halloween this year. I wore it to Danny Elfman actually put on a concert at the Hollywood Bowl. Wore it there. So
such an amazing venue. That's awesome.
Yeah, love the Bowl.
Oingo Boingo watch at the Hollywood Bowl. That's the best. Congratulations. Yeah. Do you ever do any like a Loom application? I tried that once. I was like, felt like huffing paint. I was just like, I was getting really lightheaded from it. Like,
no,
I wouldn't recommend it.
So like I told you a little, just a few minutes ago, like based on the number of watches that I do, I had to kind of tailor my business around what services do I want to offer? Because if you try to do like everything that is under the sun that you can possibly do to a watch, then it comes to the point where like you won't have the ability to be able to have that much volume that you're putting out, or production that you're able to produce, you know, and make it sustainable for you to actually have as a business. So I kind of like tailored my business around like the basics, the essentials of what people want done. Because in the beginning, I was doing all kinds of stuff. Like if you go back on my Instagram to the very beginning, you'll see that I was doing some really crazy dial, like customization of dials and stuff. And like, I'll be honest with you. Like I know for a fact that Seiko stole one of my dial ideas for one of the, and they can, you know, deny it all they want, but obviously I don't have the money or the power to go after Seiko. And like honestly, it wouldn't matter anyway, because it's like I'm basically modifying one of their dials. So it's like I have no case, you know. But the point is I modified one of their dials and made it look really cool, and I called it the you know, the Ninja or whatever, I think is what I named it. And then that's about the time that they came out with they started coming out with the 5KXs, and then they had the one that had the black dial with the red lume and everything and stuff. And I was like, I was like, okay. Awesome. But like, you know, a lot of people, like a lot of the modders were worried when those came out, like, oh man, like they're trying to make custom watches now too, so people are going to go for that. But actually it kind of opened the door for more options, you know? It was like everybody was kind of like afraid of it, but I told all the like fellow modders and stuff, I was like, don't embrace it, because it's like they're recognizing that we are important to the Seiko community. And by them recognizing that means that it's just going to make it go even further. So don't be scared of it. Like embrace it and realize that it's just going to open the door for more people to be like, oh, wow. And they'll start exploring until they find out, wow, I can even mod this watch too, you know?
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, you know, kudos to, I mean, I'm sorry they stole your design. That's not cool of Seiko, but kudos to Seiko for like essentially being okay with the entire modding industry. Like acknowledging like it can only help their business. And I think
absolutely
a lot of companies wouldn't feel that way. A lot of you know, watch manufacturers wouldn't feel that way. So I don't know if they officially have any position on it. Like that, maybe I'll try to figure it out. Maybe I'll try to do an interview with them. But kudos to Seiko for being cool with all the modders. And they're almost too cool. Like, I'm always surprised, like, Uncle Seiko exists. Like, how can he call it, or she, I don't even know if it's a man or a woman, call it Uncle Seiko and get away with that?
Well, I think he officially changed the name to Uncle Straps now, but yeah, like, I can't remember his name. I think it's Larry.
UncleStraps.com.
Yeah, Larry is the owner of it, and Uncle Seiko, and yeah, I think he recently changed it to Uncle Straps. But yeah, I was kind of curious about that too. But yeah, you know, like stuff like that, like, you know, kind of makes you wonder, you know, what their position is and everything. But I think the fact of the matter is that Seiko is one of the oldest watch companies in existence, and they've been around a long time. They ain't going nowhere. And honestly, like, a lot of people say that the things they do are like bad for their business. Like, oh, why did they decide to go this route? They're going to hurt their business. They ain't hurting their business. I mean, it's Seiko is like the cool thing about Seiko is that they're like tanks. They take a, like, almost it should be Timex's, you know, like, logo should, or motto should be their motto, because they could take a lick it and keep on ticking, you know, like, and they just last forever. I mean, they're awesome watches. The accuracy on them is great. The movements in them are great. You know, there's so much that you can do to make them look like such a amazing watch. Like, sometimes the watches I build look like, you know, expensive luxury watches, and they have the weight to them and everything, but you know, they're affordable, and that's the great thing, that anybody can buy one. So
No, I tell people who, like, oh yeah, I mod watches, they're like, oh, I could never do that. Like, I mean, just give it a try. Like, you can drop these things. It's like, don't, you know, intentionally do it, but like, they're real sturdy. They're really hard to break. You're probably going to be fine. And you know,
does break on it, it's really easy to, you know, or I should say not easy, but really affordable to repair.
Yeah, it's very inexpensive. You know? Yeah, the parts,
like,
are
like a lot of my
available.
Clients are like, my movement is you know, old and need of a servicing and stuff. Like, I don't really take in vintage watches to be serviced, because, you know, parts are hard to come by, and I don't have the time, nor do I have the equipment to do full servicings, you know, of like taking a whole movement apart and servicing the whole thing. So what I offer, like, if it's a very special client or a special, you know, watch, then I might possibly take it in, and I take it to a guy that I know that is local, that is a, you know, really awesome watchmaker, that he can service the original movement when we can get the watch restored for them. He's the same guy that DC Vintage Watches uses on occasion. I don't know, you've probably seen him on Instagram. Yeah, so most of my clients, though, when they tell me, like, oh, my SKX is like 15 years old and the movement's, you know, dying it and stuff, well, let's upgrade it, because we can put an NH36 in it and make it even better than it was, and it's going to cost you less than if you wanted to have the movement serviced.
Totally.
And the
movement
that was in there isn't that great, because it's a non-hacking, you know, just, you know, basic 7S26. Yeah. So let's put an NH36 and get you rocking, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I, you know, the 7S26, there's something charming about having to shake it to, like, start it up, you know, but
The Seiko shuffle.
but it's kind of a pain in the ass too. I don't have many 7S26s.
This is a 7S26 in this.
Oh,
I kept it original.
This one too. Yeah. I've been getting into, like, so talking about vintage, like, I've been getting into, like, taking vintage dials, but putting them on modern cheap NH35 movements, just because, like, I'm not going to deal with some movement from 50 years ago. Like, I too don't have the resources to service a movement, nor do I think that's, like, that interesting for me personally. So
Namir from NH Horology Lab, he does that a lot. He uses a lot of vintage dials and modern builds.
Oh, cool.
And they're spectacular. I mean, his builds are just, like, so, like, man, like, gets me a little envious every now and then. You hear me? I love his stuff, though. I think he's up in Canada, like Toronto.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, nah, he's really cool dude. Cat lover like myself.
Oh, nice. Me too. Go Cavs.
Yeah. But yeah, his build's really awesome. In fact, one of my good friends watching in the OC, he had him do a build with a vintage dial on it. And then like from there, like my buddy started having me do a lot of similar builds like that, like finding vintage mm-hmm. dials and doing them. And they're really fun, man. Like I'm actually trying to push my clients to look at that as an option. Like, hey, let's, you know, look at vintage dials and stuff because dude, Seiko makes, well, not only do they still make, but awesome dials, but I tell mm-hmm. you, their mm-hmm. vintage dials were so much better and just beautiful. I mean,
unbelievable.
The dial, man, the things that they were coming out with were just amazing. Like, it was so beautiful. Like, I don't understand, like, how people can't appreciate them as much as, like, I do. Like, I guess it's, you know, everybody's got their own thing that they appreciate. But, like, for me, mm-hmm. like, watch dials is just something that I really just, like, get mesmerized by. Like,
yes.
That's what a whole build is based off of. It's the dial. Like,
yeah,
you start
totally.
With the dial and you go from there, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I totally agree. Yeah, I feel like it's starting to, you know, like all those cool, the Advan and the Vanex and those cool old, like I have this, it's just some random Seiko automatic, like this teal Fume dial from 1970 something. And it's like, it's gorgeous and it's better than any, it's my favorite dial. I gave it to a friend, but yeah, it's gorgeous stuff and it's not that expensive. It's, I mean, maybe we're going to make it expensive by talking about it, but like, check out that vintage Seiko. I think people are just afraid of it because like, well, the movement's old and how do you get parts for it? And that's like, that's legitimate. Like if you care about it being the original watch, like I imagine it is kind of hard to make it a normal working watch, but even those seem to last well.
Yeah, if you're going to purchase a vintage watch, you want to really talk to the seller and get to know the history of the watch. That way you can have kind of an understanding of whether or not that movement is going to be something that is serviceable, you know, mm-hmm. because that's what's going to really determine if the watch is going to be able to be brought back to life. Because if you can't get parts for it, then you're screwed, you know?
Yeah.
You might be able to make it run, but obviously it's not going to probably be accurate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to get to know the seller, get to know the history of the watch, and, you know, maybe get some clean, you know, photos of the movement and take it to a watchmaker and have them look at it and have, you know, ask them what their opinion is so that you can make a determination of like, okay, this is worth the investment. And then if I do get it, I can go have it professionally serviced and then I'm going to have you know, a steady, like solid watch, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the important factor is just, don't just buy something. I get so many people that are like, hey, what do you think of this watch? You know, and it's like some seller in the, you know, Philippines or something. And I'm like, and then you could see the dial has like all kinds of moisture on it and everything. And I'm like, man, like I wouldn't even bother, man, to be honest with you. Cause you're just going to end up spending more than you did buying it to get it, you know, up to par. So
totally. And that's a legitimate concern. That's why I think it's kind of cheating, but like just, I found at least like the date windows line up like from an old, you know, 4009 movement in a 7S26 or an NH35, like the date windows line up. So just like the dial feet don't, but just cut those guys off and
use some dial to mount it.
Yeah.
But you just got to make sure that dial's the correct diameter because there are some that are a little bit smaller and they won't be held in by the chapter ring if you're doing a like conventional SKX, you know, 007 platform build. And then you're like, damn it, I didn't factor that in.
Yeah. Now, that's one of the fun things I find is like, inevitably you run into these like problems and you got to solve them. And it must be hard for you because you're like, well, if I spend too much time solving this problem, like I'm like losing money on this one. But but for the average modder, like whose time is, you know, worthless, I find that a fun part of the hobby. But I mean, how often does that happen to you?
It happens all the time, man. Even with all the experience that I have, I still, you know, I'm human. I sometimes still like make mistakes on, you know, like saying like, oh yeah, that'll work, you know, because I like, you know, might not, you know, really analyze it as much as I should have. And think it over. I just had a recent situation with one of my clients wanted the I forget the model number, but it's a Seiko 5 that has the date window at the bottom that has the full like week, you know, like it actually has the whole week spelled out. And
I know what you're talking about.
That's a 4 o'clock, you know, crown position or 3.8, whatever you want to say, 4 o'clock crown position, date wheel, you know, that's what it lines up for. And he wanted it in a 3 o'clock crown position watch. And I was like, yeah, it'll work and everything and stuff. And then it wasn't until after I'd ordered everything that I was thinking like, oh man, am I going to have an issue with that date wheel lining up? And so I was like, well, when I get it, I'll look at the model number, you know, not the model number, but the part number on the date wheel. And then I'll try to see if I can find a 3 o'clock position one. I don't think Seiko makes one, cause I couldn't find one. So, I had to modify it and I had So basically what I did was I took a date wheel that is for a 3 o'clock position and cut the you know, actual
serrated
wheel off teeth. Of it. Yeah. Oh, okay. That has the days of the week on it. And then I took his out of the watch that I got, the donor watch, and then took that and then was able to mount it using, you know, some glue, which, you know, just very small amount to hold it on there, but a very solid, you know, fit and everything, but perfectly aligned so that it would rotate perfectly like it's supposed to for a 3 o'clock position. And it's like stuff like that. Like, yeah, it can be time consuming, but, you know, it kind of like breaks the mundanity of what I do every day. And it gets me back to like how I was in the beginning and kind of like makes me like realize like why I got into this. Cause it's fun, you know, like
totally.
It kind of tests you and makes you think like, man, this is cool, dude. Look what I just did. So I even like posted it on my story and everybody was like, how'd you do that? You know? Like,
yeah, totally.
Cause like that now they all want to do it, you know, but it's like little things like that, you know, kind of like, you know, bring you back to your roots and, you know, of what I started doing this for. And
totally.
Yeah. And I like that. I like having that constant reminder so I don't get bored with it. You know, I don't ever get bored with it, but like it makes it refreshing. You know?
Yeah. 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 Get a little juice flowing. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great note to end on, actually. Like, I think, you know, part of the reason we're doing this podcast is like, I think modding, it's like not, I'm surprised more people don't mod. Like, I go to watch meetups and like one other person does mods there. And I'm like, there's so much more within this hobby to like explore and like so much more fun to have. And the excitement of like that first mod, it's like, you know what? You might scratch the dial. The second's hand, it's going to be tough, but you're going to eventually get it on there and you're going to feel so proud of your custom watch that you built. So I really hope that, you know, we can inspire some people to like try modding themselves. And if they don't do a good enough job with their own mod, or they break something, that's okay. Cause you can go to 444pm.com and pay a fair price to fix it to a good person, Nathan. So
you're in good hands. I mean, I'm more than happy to talk to you and try to, you know, get your watch the way you want it. But just to touch on what you just said about the community, like, I just want to all, you know, obviously, you know, tell all my followers and all my clients and everybody that's been interested in the work that I do, that I absolutely love all of you. I love the support that you give me. And if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't even have like gotten as far as I am in this endeavor. And I get, you know, a lot of emails or DMs all the time from people that are, you know, like getting into modding. And they tell me like that I've inspired them and stuff. Like, man, I'm a very modest person. And to hear that is just like, so like I'm awestruck, you know, like I'm just like, wow, like I can't believe that, you know, and it really lifts me up and makes me feel good. So I thank everybody that, you know, tells me that, and I just love all you guys and I appreciate all of you. And I have an awesome time in this community, man. It's like one of the best communities to be in, and because we all like watches and talk, and ain't not, you know, it's really cool to talk about watches. It's kind of like a neutral subject that you can talk about that everybody can just kind of get along with. And not only that, but like I mentioned earlier, my circle's, you know, like pretty small. But since I got into, you know, this whole watch modding, you know, thing, it has been growing, you know, exponentially. And I've made some really great, you know, friends out of it, and I want to continue to do that. So
that's awesome. You know? Yeah. It sounds like
now I've met you, Matt. So yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll continue talking and you know, you'll be one of those ones I can call my friend as well.
Oh, I sure hope so, my friend. Yeah, I'm lucky to that we live not too far apart. We can, you know, hop on the 5 and meet in San Clemente or something like that.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's awesome, man. That's beautiful. It sounds like you really lived a lot in the last decade or so. I don't know when you got divorced. We just started talking. We didn't talk.
It's been
before,
about a decade been? Now.
Yeah,
almost
and
10 years.
It's like, yeah, what a transformation! Like your life has become. I'm not saying it was, you know, lousy before or something like that, but we don't need to get into that unless you want to. I just love that watches was such a positive force in your life. I think that's really special. And it has been for me too. I've only been like kind of like really deep into watches for the last like year or two, and it's been really special for me. It's been really rewarding. Especially like all the creation and, you know, yeah, modding thing's been the best. So
I think watches hold a really special place in the hearts of men, you know, mm-hmm. like, because if you look at like all just think of all the movies that like have little significant, you know, mm-hmm. You know, like portions of the movie dedicated to a story behind a watch, you know,
yeah.
like, and if you ever watch a movie, almost every single male actor in every movie has a watch on, you know, and
yeah.
it's there's something about it, you know, like, I don't know. It goes back in history of just kind of like, you know, touching in touch with how men are, you know, have to be like the provider, responsible, you know, taking care of business, working, things like that. And, you know, one tool that they mm-hmm. had in their, you know, belt was always the ability to, you know, keep track of time, mm-hmm. you know, and having a watch was a very vital, you know, tool to have, you know, as a part of your, you know, being a man that was prioritized and,
yeah.
and structured and stuff. And passing that down was like, you know, women have their jewelry, their necklaces, their rings and stuff like that. But a man mm-hmm. would always be like, you know, this watch.
Yeah,
you know, I wore it up my
whoa
for 5 years.
That is a fire walking impression. Very good. Hell yeah. That is on point. Damn. That's how I got into watches. I had a baby and I needed to know what time it was. And if you light up a phone and wake up the baby, like, you're sleeping on the couch, like, as far as I'm concerned. So I got a watch that had some nice lume, a nice Seiko, obviously, and the rest was history. So, that's awesome. We usually end, not usually, we always end with a kind of Instagram recommendation. So why don't you, do you have a, you know, a cool account that you want to recommend
yeah,
that our listeners check out?
So, I mean, I kind of wanted to, like, acknowledge, you know, one of my fellow modders and stuff, but like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that you're going to, you know, continue to do more interviews and stuff and they'll get the acknowledgement along the way. And mm-hmm. I mean, if you follow me and you follow the community, you probably already know them. So I'm going to throw somebody out there that I think would be interesting. That isn't a modder, mm-hmm. but his content is really cool because when it comes to watches, my styling is more tailored towards obviously Japanese pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Not pizzas, pieces.
Yeah, I don't know about their pizza. Something tells me
know.
The pizza's weird.
I know, right?
Just,
might be
just
good.
Guessing.
But no, no, we'll see. But yeah, I'm more. I could care less about Swift stuff. Just to, you know, like that's not my thing. Totally. I love Japanese stuff, and so it's JDM_horologist, and he's got a pretty big following. But he posts rare JDM pieces that you've probably never seen before, and some of them I see and I immediately start searching them up on Google mm. trying to find them because I'm like, I have to have that watch, you know, and obviously they're, you know, rare, so it's very difficult mm-hmm. to acquire some of them, but he's just got some really amazing pieces. I don't know if you can
cool.
you're probably looking them up right now, but I don't know
yes
if you
I am
it. Here's his little
yeah
logo.
The yellow, okay, cool, yeah, okay, I've definitely heard of him, but I apparently wasn't following him, so I'll check that out. Okay, you know, I'm going to change mine, actually, just to keep it in the same vein of like weird, unique Seiko stuff. Eric Strickland, E-R-I-K-S. Wait a minute.
Hold on. Slow down. Let me go back in here.
So I guess his name is Eric S. Strickland, E-R-I-K-S. STRICKLAND.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
And he's got a decent amount of followers too, but he, you know, I actually feel like he might have been interviewed by Fifth Wrist, so this might be duplicative. But hey, you know what? We're just going to play the hits again, I guess. He collects all kinds of crazy vintage Seiko, and you see like just really weird pieces from the past. And a lot of times you see something, you're like, gosh, they should make that again. Like, I actually love those, all the like the 1959 reinterpretation Alpinists and all the cool, like, you know, I think they're doing a really good job of like, they're referencing the original material, but they're modernizing it. And it's not like a straight copy. It's, you know, it's something different, but it's close to the original too. I think it's like they strike a nice balance. So, but anyway, Eric S. Strickland, he's always getting dope ass vintage Seikos, and I'd love to see some of them in person one day. So check him out.
I followed him, so good to go.
Also, you should all follow 4_40_4_PM on Instagram. You can see all these really cool builds. I think I see that 3 o'clock dial with the 6 o'clock day.
Yeah, it was a recent one I just did. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was like, oh, I think I recognize that. And I'm like, oh yeah, I saw that like a couple days ago or earlier.
I wish I could post all the watches that I do, but I just don't have the time to literally film and take pictures of every single one of them. So
yeah,
that my Instagram literally only has like probably half, if that, of the watches that I put out. So
yeah.
Well, I wish I had some. Maybe I should. That's what I should do. If I was going to hire anybody, I should hire somebody to do pictures.
I know. I mean, surely one of your kids can do the Instagram thing. I mean, come on. Let's, Mr. or, you know, Child 4PM. I don't know what your last name is, but yeah, get on it. Like, help daddy out. But yeah, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you and get to know you more. And yeah, if you ever want to have a custom mod done, check them out on Instagram and book a consultation. Yeah, thanks so much. It's good to chat.
Great chatting with you too, Matt. You have a great night, and I appreciate the time.
Fifth Wrist is by the community for the community. We would love you to join the crew via our group chat on Slack. Email us at contact@fifthwrist.com and join the movement.